strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
A touchdown for David Johnson, my goodness! Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care! Pitch to fifth, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown of the win!
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From University of Phoenix Stadium.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury!
You know, on a player's calendar, it's a holiday. There is no doubt about it. I'm not saying they exchange cards or, you know, gifts or anything like that, you know, gift exchange, but they most definitely celebrate it. The end of camp, Ron Wolfley.
Oh, yeah, Bully.
Take yourself back to your playing days, the very end of camp. Let those words wash over you. Ding dong, the Marathon Cardinals camp is dead after, well, pretty much 5 weeks. In fact, BA said last week that it was the second longest training camp that he's been associated with. I mean, considering his football career. That is saying something.
The last night of training camp, of course, back when I was playing ball, and you know how I despise saying back when I was playing, but I can tell you the last night of training camp was always here's to Cardinal Puff. The Cardinal Puff. You actually did this. The veterans would force you to do this drinking game. Here's the Cardinal Puff for the first time tonight. If you didn't recite it exactly perfectly, if you didn't do it exactly as they demonstrated to you, you had to do a shot. This is back in 1985, right? This is back in 1985. This is how they haze the rookies. So when you break training camp, it always has that special moment for me.
Back when on the training table was beef jerky for dinner. That's what you guys used to eat back then. Think about that. It is the Big Red Rage. Yes, it is the final Cardinals camp edition as they get ready for this road trip to Atlanta, then the road trip to Denver, and then two more regular season road trips. They don't return to University of Phoenix Stadium until, well, how about week three of the regular season and September 25th. And you know what? BA saying it today, they spent so much time at University of Phoenix Stadium already, they're not going to miss it. In fact, BA was saying, you know what, yay, camp is over. And then DJ Humphreys, his quote of the day was, you know what, I've never been to jail, but I'm pretty sure I don't want to go after these 5 weeks. That's how long it felt players.
DJ Humphreys, can I just say this? A possible future candidate for the Big Red Rage. Is
yes,
he not?
Indeed. Well, assuming Carlos Dansby doesn't play another 7 years.
Exactly. And that, who knows how long Dansby is going to play. But, Paulie, it's interesting because I don't know if you noticed the jubilant mood that the coaches were in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the coaches, you could just feel it, couldn't you? They were like, man, we're getting out of here. Burn rubber.
Let's get some – did they check all the boxes here? Let's just go through it real quick because you entered camp over a month ago, and you're wondering, who's the number two cornerback? We got our answer. Bruce Arians on Thursday confirmed it, saying, oh, yeah, Justin Bethel is the starter alongside Patrick Peterson. And it really wasn't much of a battle, was it?
It wasn't much of a battle, Paulie, because I think early on Brandon Williams was having so much trouble. And I think that solidified in the minds of the coaches, of course, that Justin Bethel was going to be the corner opposite, or at least get that shot, first of all, opposite of Patrick Peterson. But you know what? Brandon Williams has really come on, I would say, over the last couple of weeks. So it's going to be interesting to see how this transpires from this point forward.
Drew Stanton is the number two quarterback. And BA made that official a few days ago and just said, oh, yeah, based on what he has done so far in the preseason, especially the games. Tyrann Mathieu, knock on wood, appears to be the Badger again,
yes.
At least based on what we have seen. All right, as for question marks coming out of camp, I'm going to name the four categories. You tell me if I'm wrong and where you would start. Punters,
you're wrong.
Punters,
okay.
Wide receivers, John Brown in particular and Chad Williams, still some question marks attached there. The inside linebacker group, based on injury and youth and experience, what exactly is going to be the playing rotation there? And then O-line depth. Not exactly a pressing need, but it's still a question mark that lingers out there. Have I missed anything?
I think you're on it, Paulie. Give me that again. What was that O-line depth, of course?
I'd say, punters.
Punters.
Wide receivers beyond Larry.
Wide receivers beyond Larry, okay.
And then inside linebacker. You know,
inside linebacker. So basically, you've been talking to Bruce Arians. Is that what you're saying?
I'm just looking afar and based on what he said about the rookie. All right, we'll get into it, okay? We got Kerwin Williams coming up on this edition of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. In fact, quarterbacks next. Stan with a snap, looking to his left. Now it was flushed out to the right, running, pumping, throwing into the end zone. Caught! Troy Nicholas just passed the goal line in traffic. He hauls it in for the Cardinals' second touchdown.
And you see Drew Stanton keeping the play going, able to use his feet to buy himself some time.
Gabbert in the empty backfield, looking, calling for it, snap, straight drop, goes through his progressions, back in the end zone, caught. Jeremy Ross hauls it in. Blaine Gabbert with a great job of finding Ross in the back of the end zone, right on the money. Sort of like Pink Floyd, you know, the song eventually comes into focus.
You do.
That's sort of the backup quarterback spot this year in Cardinals Camp 2017, which is now a wrap. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. And you heard the two quarterbacks right there. In fact, you heard two passing touchdowns. And with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo donates money to the local public schools through the Passing Touchdowns for Schools program. Wells Fargo together will go far. Do you expect three quarterbacks on the Cardinals' final 53?
I do, as a matter of fact, Paulie. Coming into training camp, we all speculated about that. And I do believe the Arizona Cardinals looked at Blaine Gabbert and said, you know what, look, we were going to draft a quarterback. Maybe it was going to be Mitchell Trubisky. Maybe it was going to be Patrick Mahomes. We really like those two guys, and maybe if given the opportunity, we may have drafted one of those guys right there. Well, listen, if in fact that was the case, I can promise you right now that that would have been a situation where Patrick Mahomes or Mitchell Trubisky would have been sitting probably for a year because they weren't going to expect him to come in and supplant Drew Stanton as the number two, as your backup. Why would you do that, right? Drew Stanton, a guy that actually has a winning record as a backup quarterback. Drew Stanton was solidified. So if, in fact, you're going to bring Blaine Gabbert in, a guy that is actually working for his seventh offensive coordinator in 7 years, why would you not look at him as this pile of raw material, very similar to whether or not you drafted a Mitchell Trubisky or a Patrick Mahomes, and said to yourself, you know, if there's anything here whatsoever out of this guy that's 6'4", 235 pounds, and is a much better athlete than most people give him credit for, and has a laser beam for an arm, maybe we ought to look at him as a developmental guy. And I think that's exactly how they entered training camp, and I think that's how we're going to exit it.
And think about what you have to give up in today's NFL, in the marketplace, to even take a shot at a potential franchise quarterback. The Bears had to suffer through a 3-13 season and then trade away still a lot of picks to move up one spot to have a shot at a Mitchell Trubisky. What was Bill Parcells' old line, right?
A guy shows you who he is, believe him.
So,
and for the record, Paul, that was Maya Angelou who actually said that.
Really?
Paul, yeah, he ripped off Maya Angelou and then passed it off like he was saying it himself.
Bill. Us football Neanderthals, we believe him. See, we don't think beyond a Bill Parcells to a Maya Angelou, you know? So I ask that because, look, the first half against Dallas in the Hall of Fame game, we saw Blaine Gabbert. 11-14, 185, a passer rating of 119, right? And yes, it was against the twos and threes. Yes, it was against a vanilla defense. But you saw a guy who had a lot of poise in the pocket. You saw a guy going through his progressions, finding the second, third, and fourth receivers, at least according to BA. Mm-hmm. And in interviewing him after the game in the locker room, I found a guy who wasn't lacking in confidence because that seemed to be the book on Blaine Gabbert. You know, oh boy, you know, what kind of confidence could he have toiling for the Jaguars and the 49ers and all those losing seasons and his record as a starting quarterback is sub-500 by a mile. But that's not the guy I found.
Can I tell you, Paulie, that the jury, I do believe, is still out on him. And I know you're not implying that it isn't. But to me, I think it's something you've always got to keep in the forefront of your thoughts as well. The jury is still out. There's a question mark. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to be on the 53. I believe he is going to be on the 53. But as to whether or not he's going to continue to develop and progress, I think that is still very much in question.
And I'm not anointing him the next future franchise quarterback.
Right.
I'm just saying, as of earning a spot, a legitimate spot in the final 53, absolutely, he merits a longer look. That's all I'm saying.
He does merit a longer look, and I think all you need to do is look at that two-point conversion to go back and wonder why there might be still some questions.
Mm-hmm.
The two-point conversion, of course, against the Bears to win or lose the game, and the fact that it was a hot situation. There's no doubt about it. It was a hot route, but based on everything I've been told, Jeremy Ross ran exactly the right route, and it was Blaine Gabbert who messed that up.
Yeah. And according to BA after the game in our post-game radio interview on the Cardinals radio network, BA confirmed it was on the quarterback. It was on Blaine Gabbert. And look, Gabbert is definitely number three right now. Drew Stanton earned the number two spot, and Bruce Arians explained why.
Oh, decisions made.
Drew's the guy. Yeah, okay.
I mean, Blaine has been a great surprise. Like Steve said, it was a no-risk proposition. Highly talented guy. Let's see what he's got. And we're seeing more and more and more. Is he ready to be our number two in a regular season? I doubt it, just because he still doesn't know this offense that well. But Drew knows what he's doing. If we had an injury, God hope not, I think we would have two very capable guys.
And once again, Drew Stanton's record as a starting quarterback in the NFL, he has a winning record. He is 8-5. And the guys believe in him. They know he knows the offense as well as anyone.
Paulie, is there anything you would want more from your backup quarterback than the chance to win a game when and if you ever had to start him? Think about that for a minute. Drew Stanton with an 8-5 record as a backup quarterback. I've said this before, I'll continue to say it. In the huddle, there are two times you'll snap your head up. Number one, when a legend walks into that huddle and calls a play. Number two, when the backup walks in to that huddle to call a play. Because you're looking at him like, dude, are you okay? Are you all right? Are you going to be all right, man? Do you need a Depends? I mean, honestly, it's a scary moment.
Well, we heard the GM, Steve Keim, on with you this week saying Gabbert's playing so well that he thinks he'd be a viable option as a lot of teams' starting quarterback. I mean, you know, maybe there's a market for him at some point. But right now he's an Arizona Cardinal, and Gabbert was on the Red Sea Report explaining why he chose the Cardinals.
When I came here, it was more of a decision where I wanted to come to a stable organization with a great coaching staff, great front office, great ownership, and just quality people around so I could really learn the game of football, not just go out there and play, but really focus on the fine details of just mastering the quarterback position. And it's been great so far.
And you think about it, it's his seventh season, but he never had that opportunity to learn behind a veteran and be tutored.
It's mind-boggling.
He was thrust right into it as a rookie, the 10th pick overall.
I don't even know what to say about it because it's so unbelievable to think he's on his seventh offensive coordinator in 7 years. How is that even possible? There's a lot of losing in there, isn't there? There's a lot of losing. And I can tell you, it's not all on Blaine Gabbert. And I'm not trying to give this guy a pass. I am not. But this kid is worth investing in. And I think that's the reason why. There's no doubt he's going to be on the 53.
I mean, there's learning your job, and then there's learning on the job in the line of fire as a starting quarterback in the NFL as a rookie, and then having coaching changes each and every year. You know, you're always behind the eight ball. There's never that comfort of knowing the system so well that you can just play without thinking. He's never enjoyed that.
And then, of course, you've got Bruce Arians, and you've got Tom Moore. And I believe Byron Leftwich deserves some credit here as well. But when you're talking about BA and you're talking about Tom Moore, you're talking about whisperers.
And we have two more preseason games to see Blaine Gabbert as well and see what he's able to bring. By the way, the Cardinals starters will probably go about 30 snaps, maybe the first half at Atlanta. We'll see. We'll also see if we're going to have Deion Buchanan in the opener at Detroit week one. We're going to hear from Bruce Arians. He'll give us the latest update on the dollar linebacker and where he stands on the first-round rookie Hassan Reddick as well. And don't forget Kerwin Williams coming up, all part of the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Hit in the backfield and taken down at the 20, a four-yard loss. Deion Buchanan was the first guy there for the Cardinals.
Gobbled up at the 23-yard line by Deion Buchanan. Pass to the far side is caught by Powell, but a good open field stop by Buchanan.
Fire the cannons, baby. Deion Buchanan sniffing that out the whole way.
Crushed
by Dayon Buchanan. You want to know what that feels like? Just go out in your backyard, have your neighbor take a shovel, and then right between the shoulder blades, whack you as hard as he can. Wow.
If you want a hard-hitting defense, you want Dayon Buchanan. No doubt about it. That's how this Cardinals team gets better, as they get the return of the dollar linebacker, the guy whose name isn't just on the back of his jersey, it's on the depth chart as a position. I mean, he's a position and a player all at the same time, innovating that dollar linebacker spot. Dayon Buchanan, as we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. We are Santan, Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and this isn't the Big Red defense until they get Buck back.
Fired the cannon, right? No, I agree with you 100%, Paulie, because, look, Dayon is a guy that can do so many different things. He really is an X factor as well, a guy that you can move around. That's something that we're all looking at Hassan Reddick and waiting for Hassan Reddick to do as well, to be able to move around in space and yet hold up at the point of attack, right? And I think Dayon Buchanan right now, just light years ahead of where Hassan Reddick is. Now, look, the maturation of Hassan Reddick, it's got to happen, and you've got to play him. And that's the problem, Paulie. It's the only way he's truly going to learn is to throw him out there on the field. But, boy, it sure will be nice once Dayon Buchanan comes back and you can actually work him in there on that weak side inside with Hassan.
All right, so with that in mind, when? Where is he at? What's the status of Dayon Buchanan? Here's Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah, he's ready. He's ready. He's out there running in the heat and doing everything he needs to do and just getting still some of that last bit of stiffness out. He's ready to hit somebody, that's for sure, and hopefully it's not me.
All right, he's been on that backfield. He's been outdoors running when the Cardinals have been indoors. He did update that a little bit later, Bruce Arians, and he sort of gave some specifics. He said, best-case scenario, Dayon Buchanan is back week one, the opener at Detroit. Worst-case scenario, he's back week three for the home opener against the Dallas Cowboys.
So what are you telling me? Indianapolis? Is that what you're telling me, Paulie, right there? Right? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't sound great when you say best-case scenario. He'll be ready to go in Detroit. But knowing Dayon Buchanan, are you serious? Are you going to ever bet against that guy somehow, some way, getting himself ready to go for Detroit? I think not, my friend.
So right here, right now, he's only participating in walkthroughs. And that means 43, your first-round rookie, Hassan Reddick, has been running first team almost the entirety of camp. In fact, you know what? I want you to react to what Bruce Arians and Carlos Dansby say about the first-round rookie.
When he's on the right guy, he's doing really well. When he doesn't have Carlos in it, that's your guy, go get him, then he struggles a little bit.
He's a young man. He's new to the position, and he got a lot of learning to do. This training camp is going to be a curve for him that he's going to have to get through in order for him to be able to help us. Right now, he's going through the curve, and that's part of the process. You got to respect it, and if he don't, it's going to bite him.
He sort of has his big brother and Carlos Dansby leading him through the schoolyard.
Yeah.
Sort of telling him, okay, all right, here's how it works. And that when Carlos Dansby has not been out there,
right,
he has looked like a rookie.
You know, Paulie, you know when the Sicilian, your wife, says to you, honey, will you please go out and plant this pot? And you don't even know how to, you don't know how to put a plant in a pot, Paul. You know when that happens to you and you... Look, if you try to do it when you don't know what you're doing, it's really difficult to plant that thing. Yeah. You have no idea how to plant it, right?
And it gets worse when she says, if you don't know how to do it, I'll call my brother because my brother knows how to do it.
You get my point, right?
It's personal.
You've got to be confident if, in fact, you want to play football and do it freely. And I think that is what Carlos Dansby is alluding to, the fact that he still doesn't know what it is that he's doing until Hassan knows, and knows it with a certitude that allows him to go out and ball and do it with a lot of vim and vigor. There's no way he's going to go out there and do it until he understands what to do.
I know I'm guilty of underestimating the degree of difficulty involved here. First off, he's a rookie. And even though he's a first-round rookie, look at the last 2 years, Robert Kimdichie and DJ Humphreys. It was too much for him. The NFL overwhelmed both of them. They were not a factor until year two.
You know, Paulie, this is really a common theme as well with a lot of the rookies coming out of the college game right now, and it's because of how disparate the college game is from the NFL. Obviously, we see that with quarterbacks. It's as plain as day. But think of the offensive linemen as well. How hard the transition is now for an offensive lineman into the NFL. It's because of the plays and the schemes that are being run at the college level. And again, look, College football, it's not their job to prepare these kids for the NFL. It isn't. It's their job to win, right? Win for their university. So I understand the problem, but boy, I'll tell you, the practicality of it, when you draft these kids coming out of college right now, it's night and day.
But the challenge is then compounded by the fact he's making a position change. He played outside linebacker slash defensive end in college, correct?
Yes.
He played on the edge.
He played on the edge.
So now he's in space, a weak side inside linebacker.
So different.
So those two things right there make it a massive challenge. With that in mind, based on how Josh Bynes played in the one game we have seen him so far in the preseason, I would not be shocked to see Carlos Dansby and Josh Bynes as your starting inside linebackers, presuming Deion Buchanan is not available, and then maybe Hassan Reddick in some sort of package, some sort of a speed rush package off the edge or something. I mean, do you think that's a possibility?
I think that is a possibility. I do. I'm not going to bet the farm on it, but I think that is a possibility. I do believe sharing time at weak side inside with a Josh Bynes, I think, I believe that. I don't think they're going to run him out there on the edge yet. I think they're going to let him focus on space and learning to play in space before they throw him out on the edge. I could be dead wrong on that.
And for all the plays that second-round rookie Buda Baker has made during camp, it's probably the same thing. He's going to be in packages, won't be a regular rotation player until maybe November. You bring him along. Hey, subscribe to the Arizona Cardinals podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, the Cardinals Red Sea Report, and, of course, the Big Red Rage. All right, up until recently, he was mainly known for his sandwich. That's in the Cardinals' locker room. Now he's making a name for himself in the return game and the backfield. Kerwin Williams next on the Big Red Rage.
Pitch to Williams, running left. He's across the 40-yard line at the 35, breaks a tackle at the 30 and stays in bounds at the 25.
Such a confident, energetic, bubbly, understated player. The Cardinals love him.
Palmer under center, Kerwin Williams the deep back. Palmer takes, handoff Williams straight ahead, powers his way to the goal line, and across for the Cardinal touchdown.
Look, it's real simple, Wolf, when it comes to Kerwin Williams. You give him the ball, you give him space, and he's going to give you return on investment.
Yeah.
Something we couldn't exactly say about you back in the day, but you would clear room for guys like Kerwin Williams.
Hey, Paulie, I'm telling you right now, I'll get you 2 yards if you need two.
Yeah.
If you need four, I'll get you two.
And we welcome in Kerwin Williams to the Big Red Rage. By the way, something you never had to deal with in your day, was there ever another Wolfley on the roster?
No, there was not.
Because we have, if I'm counting these up, five. Five Williams are on the roster. Does that ever present a problem, Kerwin?
Not really, unless you have the same name. I mean, I know we got a couple Browns. You know, we got the Browns brothers over there. So, I mean, I think that's more of a problem because they both have the same initial.
That's true. Jerron and John Brown, yeah.
Exactly.
Then you have all the Johnsons on this, four or five Johnsons on this team as well.
Exactly.
So, okay. Well, you're just a number in training camp anyway, 33, right?
Exactly.
How's training camp going for you?
I feel like it's going pretty good. You know, I'm doing the best I can to put my best foot forward and try to make sure that I stay productive.
What would you say you have already shown the coaches and what is left? What would you like to show the coaches?
I think the main thing right now, I just want to stay consistent in my return game. You know, I want to continue to, you know, progress in that and show that I can do that week in and week out. The main thing I wanted to show when I came back this camp was, you know, the increase in the catching ability, increased knowledge in the offense, and just to, you know, continue to make plays out there. You know, that's the main thing I look forward to.
I felt like, Kerwin, you were going to have no problem whatsoever on kickoff return. But punt return is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Talk about the differences between a return man on kickoff and on punt.
Kickoff, you know, it's actually surprising to a lot of people, but I think you need a little bit more patience on kickoff. You know, you kind of got to let those blocks develop. You know, the guys they get on their guys pretty early. So, you know, you kind of have to see things out a little bit more. You know, you don't really have anyone running down in your face like on punt. On punt, I feel like with me, I feel like you're either one or two guys. You're either a guy that peaks, you know, when the ball's inside the air, you know, so you see everything developing and stuff like that. You're like a guy that feels. You know, that's more the guy that I am. I'm more the guy to take a look at the field position than, you know, night. And I feel like when you're that kind of guy, you have to study the kicker a little bit more. So, you're studying your kicker. You're knowing where he's going to kick the ball. You know, what's his hang time like? What's his minus 20 ball like compared to his, 50 ball?
You're not a peaker is what you're saying.
No, I really try to concentrate on locating that ball and getting to the spot.
How much help do you get from the sideline?
I feel like you get a decent amount of help from the sideline. It depends on
where it is, of course.
Exactly.
If you're on the other side,
yeah, exactly.
Right.
It depends on where it is and basically how loud the crowd is at that point. I feel like I can hear the sideline a little bit sometimes, which is good. You know, always getting that extra help from the sideline is good too. But I feel like the main thing, I just try to just concentrate on where the ball is on the field. You know, so if it's like on like the minus 20, I know the punter's gonna do his best to get it out of there. You know, so I have so they can create different field positions. So I try to pay attention to that and make sure I'm on top of where the down and distance and stuff as well.
B.A. talks about return guys being fearless.
Yeah.
He looks for that. I mean, if you have to have one trait in returning kicks and punts, would that be it?
I definitely would think so. It's not the same as college. You know, college guys were, you know, you were doing special teams because, you know, we needed you to do special teams. Like, all right, well, you know, this is an extra thing we have to do. We don't necessarily have all these guys dressing, so, you know, we need you to do special teams. Now guys are getting paid. Like, this is their job. You know, to go out there, it's my job to go out there and make tackles on punt team. Guys they're humming down the field. So you kind of do have to be fearless because you know these guys are coming out, they're hunting. So, you know, you're ready for it.
Kerwin, I was a guy that played 10 years in the NFL. That's what I did.
Yeah.
I hunted as a personal protector down
exactly.
the field with special teams. That's where I played the vast majority of my time. That's got to be a scary proposition when you're looking up and that thing's hanging up there. It's hanging 4-5, 4-7, 5-0 sometimes. It will hang up there, and you know there are people that are running down the field, and they are bent on one thing.
Exactly.
And that's your destruction.
Exactly.
It's a different mindset, right?
It is. And that's where, like, you know, your film study and, your personal clock in your mind kind of goes off. Like, the same way, a quarterback has his personal clock. Like, he's like, all right, I've been standing here in this pocket too long. I know somebody's coming to get me. You kind of get that same feeling when the ball's up in the air like that, when it's been in the air too long. But I feel like the biggest thing, too, that comes secondary to, you know, just being on top of your techniques and your film study is just trusting your teammates. You know, trusting that they're going to hold up their blocks for you and give you enough time to make that catch. Whether it be a fair catch, they're going to keep somebody out your face long enough to where you can make a safe fair catch. Or if there's a return set up, they're going to keep everybody out of your face so you can get a return going. So I feel like a lot of it is trusting your teammates as well.
Are you excited about this opportunity? Because, Kerwin, this is a big deal. If you are going to be the kickoff return guy and the punt return guy, and you're going to contribute, you know that from time to time offensively.
Yep.
This sounds like an expanded role for you. How excited are you about this?
Very excited. I mean, anytime you have the opportunity to contribute is definitely very huge. You know, anytime you have the opportunity to get the ball in your hands, is also huge. So, you know, anytime that I can contribute to the team in a positive way, I'm always excited for.
All right, let's hit rewind on Kerwin Williams in your Cardinals career. Let's go back to 2014. You had the 100-yard rushing game against KC, right?
Yep.
Your breakout game, your statement game.
Yep.
You know what I remember about that game? Is down on the sideline as a pencil neck sideline reporter. When you got into the game, the defensive guys got off the bench. They wanted to see it because they're all talking about how you were throttling them in practice as the scout team running back.
Like, I remember that.
They're like, Kerwin's been schooling us. It's so hilarious to see him do it to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Where are you as a running back from then to now? Because, you know, I mean, we saw last year the 49-yard run where you lost the shoe against the Saints. I mean, you know, where do you consider yourself right now in the pecking order in the running back room?
You know, I can never really – you know, fill that out. I feel like that's always up to the coaches. I feel like as far as like the type of player I am now as compared to them, I feel like I'm definitely a different player. I'm the same player mentally. I feel like you definitely have to be mentally tough to go through some of the things I've gone through in this business. But, you know, as far as like the type of player I am, I feel like, you know, my mind's expanded because, you know, I've become more comfortable in the offense. You know, you're able to play faster the more comfortable you are within the offense. And, you know, I see things differently than I did from that first game. You know more. So, you know, as your knowledge gains, I feel like you're able to play a little bit differently. The game slows down even more. And the more the game slows down, like, you know, I feel like the better player you are.
Do you feel like, Kerwin, you could hold up as a three-down back if called upon?
I do think I can do the job. You know, if that ever was the case, you know, and they needed me to do that, I definitely would be willing to do that.
Do you see yourself as a leader?
I try to be, you know, when it's necessary.
What does it look like to be a leader? Yeah.
I'm less vocal, and I'm more lead by example. I'm not really one to, you know, rah-rah, you know, speak up or give team speeches like that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was asked to, I feel like I'd do an okay job doing that if I needed to. But, you know, I feel like I'm more of an encouragement kind of like, you know, trying to keep the mental thing going. I think that's the biggest part of the game. I feel like, you know, as long as you're concentrating on, you know, what you have mentally and what the task at hand is and everybody's on the same page, I feel like things can, you know, things will go well. So I think that my biggest thing is, you know, just to lead by example, just to be a consistent grinder. Kind of just be that guy.
So if you go into Kerwin Williams' Wikipedia page, you'll see the Kerwich that is listed.
Yeah, right.
But see, the Cardinals now have all these full-time nutritionists. All right? It's very scientific. I mean, did they make you throw the Kerwich out?
No, I can't do that. I don't think I could ever do that. I mean, I feel like it's been a staple in my diet for so long, and it's been so good to me. You can't turn your back on it.
Wolf wants you to define it again. What exactly is the Kerwich?
The Kerwich is four pieces of bread.
Four?
Four pieces of bread, two peanut butter, two jelly. You take the peanut butter first, put the jelly on top, then put the other slice of peanut butter on top of that one, then put the other slice of jelly on top, slice it, dip it in milk, call it a
See the precision with that.
Wait a minute, there's no meat in that thing?
No meat in it.
Okay.
You know, just like some chips on the side.
You know, there's a cooler near the Cardinals locker room and just has sort of ready-made, you know, to-go type sandwiches and stuff just in case. And they have some peanut butter and jelly over there. Do you ever take a few of those and slam them together?
Nah, I can't do that. Nah, because, you know, it's prepared differently. You know, when you prepare it yourself, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you kind of want it your way.
What kind of bread do you use on that? I mean, Wonder Bread or,
nah,
you know?
Definitely not Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread is too flimsy.
Exactly.
You know, I used to
this
use
is what I'm looking for.
Man, like in college, I used to use a different type of bread. I used like a potato bread that was white bread. Yeah, it was nice, but I use Dave's killer bread now.
Mm.
Yeah, the wheat bread is actually pretty good. Yeah.
You should get like one of those food trucks, you know, and just specialize in the Kerwiches. You know,
something
sort of
like
a boutique food, you know.
I know like a lot of people like a fried, but I'm not really like a fried.
You're
fried
from Vegas.
Meat.
That'd be great, like at 3 a.m. for those people partying all night.
Exactly,
a Kerwich,
that would make a killing
on that.
You could. There was actually like especially like in Vegas, like the street vendors do, you know, they do well in Vegas right now. So, I mean, I think it's something to think about for sure.
So when you're not like building sandwiches and stuff like that, what do you do in your spare time?
In my spare time? I got a dog about 2 years ago. So, I mean, he keeps me.
What kind of dog?
German Shepherd.
Ooh.
Yeah. He keeps me pretty occupied because, you know, I'm gone most of the day. So when I come back home, he's ready to play. So, I mean, like, that's like the first thing I do. The first thing I do is take him out. Like, we either go on like a skateboard ride. Like, I'll ride the skateboard and he pulls me. I'll take him to the dog park, you know, so he can play with his dog counterparts.
What's his name?
His name's Kino.
Kino.
Yeah, like the casino.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I should have known.
Yeah,
so like they're listing you at 5'8", 198.
Yeah.
Is that pretty accurate? 198?
It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true or false, a running back your size can get lost behind offensive linemen and you know, and can be difficult for defenders to find you.
Very true.
Very true.
Yes.
So you use that to your advantage.
I try to. I mean, I think, you know, God bless me with my height. So, so I try to use that to the best of my ability.
Any goals for 2017?
Just to continue to get better. That's the main thing. I try to you know, better myself every year. And so far, you know, I think that I've done that. I think that I've become a better player every year. And that's what I want to continue to do.
It must be nice, though, to know that you made this team, knock on wood, right?
Yeah.
3 of the last 4 Septembers, right? I mean, you made the team. You've been cut late. You've been re-signed, cut again. I mean, right, all the transactions, I mean, right now, I mean, it's got to feel pretty good to have a little bit of stability, right?
No, I never feel relaxed. Like, I never get too comfortable, and I never get satisfied with where I am. I think that's the main thing that, you know, as a player, you have to continue to do. You have to continue to strive, you know, to be better. And, you know, you can't ever get comfortable. And that's, you know, I never feel safe.
Don't ever lose that.
Yeah.
Stay hungry.
Yeah.
That's awesome, Kerwin. Thank you, man.
No
appreciate
problem.
Your time, brother.
No problem. I appreciate you guys having me on.
When we're at Marley's later, as we wrap this up, okay, Marley's later in the season, we'll have to have you back on. You can go back in the kitchen, all right, with Thunder Dan. You can make some of the Kerwiches, okay? Wolf can have a little snack. Maybe we'll put that on the menu at Marley's.
That's what's up. I'm down for that.
All right, Kerwin Williams. Kerwin. We'll be right back on the Big Red Rage.
Sounds good.
First and 15 on the 34. Mannion throws far side and juggled and picked off by Bethel. He's going to take it back at the 40, at the 30, at the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Cardinals, on the pick 6 by Bethel.
Justin Bethel jumped all over that out route to the house, baby.
I was in L.A. to wrap up last season, and you know what? He hasn't given up that number 2 corner spot ever since. Justin Bethel in the last 2 games of last year turned a corner. for good, at least seemingly, at least so far. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. A pleasure to be joined by Kerwin Williams there and the little story about his Kerwich. I think he needs a stand, like a little food stand, at University of Phoenix Stadium on game day. I know you want Wolfley's wings.
Yes.
That still hasn't been authorized.
That's right, Paul.
The Kerwich stand would be good on game day.
Boy, that would be good right there, right? With a glass of milk.
I'm in for 40% of all profits on that one, since it was Calvisi Consulting on that one. You know what I'm saying, right? Anyway, Justin Bethel, I mean, we went into Camp Wolf, hit rewind 5 weeks ago, and it was the biggest question we had.
Yes.
I mean, right there with number two receiver and John Brown. Number two receiver, number two cornerback. Cardinals got at least one answer. Wouldn't you agree that right now that box has been checked?
No, I think you're right, Paulie. Yeah, I think Justin Bethel has won the corner opposite of Patrick Peterson. And you know what? Honestly, again, I have mixed thoughts on this. I really do. I love Justin Bethel. You know that, Paul. You know how much I respect him. He's going into year six right now. He's going into year six, and he really has not, he's not secured that for the probably the past 3 years, I'm going to say, that position. He's had the opportunity to do it. I'm hoping he's a late bloomer. And that suddenly the light bulb has gone on for Justin Bethel. And you may be right, the last couple of games last year, Paul.
He was finally healthy. I'm throwing out last year, at least the beginning of last year, because he wasn't healthy enough to truly compete for a starting job. And they ended up bringing in Marcus Cooper late, made the trade. He ended up going alternate to the Pro Bowl and got paid by the Chicago Bears. I mean, it hasn't truly been in the cards for him to compete at 100%. Finally, that's happened this year. And he's held everybody off. And at least, I mean, here's B.A. at the end of camp and his assessment of Justin Bethel.
He just outplayed everybody, you know, from day one, getting all those interceptions in the spring. You know, then once we're able to play bump and run, which is his forte also, he just got better and better and his confidence grew.
Thing is, we're going to find out right away. Why? Because no one's throwing at Patrick Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go right at Justin Bethel.
Yeah, and again, that's the reason why I also think Justin Bethel has the inside track, because he has been in the league, right, for 5 years and going into his sixth year here. He's got some veteranness, for lack of a better way of saying it, coming into this season. And I think that corner opposite of Patrick Peterson has got to have that. In other words, this is not his first rodeo. He's not going to fall into a million pieces because suddenly somebody comes in and says, hey, we got Patrick Peterson over there, and we got this guy over here. Let's throw the ball at this guy over here, right? I mean, he's not going to explode. Ah, they're picking at, you know, like some young guys might. So I think that gives him a decided advantage.
He used to be that guy, though. According to coaches and teammates, you know, it's only in the last couple of years where when he has been beat, because every single DB is going to be beat at some point, that he didn't hang his head. I guess he does a much better job, according to those in that locker room, of dismissing it and moving on to the next play, which is critical at that position.
Can I also say, when you talk about the battle opposite of Patrick Peterson between Brandon Williams and Justin Bethel, both those guys, Justin Bethel and Brandon Williams, they've really done a much better job of looking for the ball. Looking for the ball when it's in the air. Both these guys, as far as I'm concerned, over the last season, had a really difficult time when that ball was in the air, locating that ball, even turning to look for that ball to make a play on it. This is what Patrick Peterson, of course, does so incredibly well. Now, granted, it's Patrick, but you need corners to be fundamentally sound. And there is a time where you've got to turn and look for the ball and try to make a play on the ball, even in man cover. And I think Brandon Williams and Justin Bethel have really improved from year to year.
I'd say they've improved even from the beginning of camp to the end of camp. I mean, think of some of the plays Justin Bethel gave up the first couple of days in camp.
Yeah.
He did not turn and play the ball. And that hasn't been – he's done a much better job of that in camp. To your point, you're absolutely right. Brandon Williams, think of him at the beginning of the Hall of Fame game against Dallas. Then he made the interception. I was down on the sideline. He's pounding his chest and he's saying, I told you so. I told you I could do it. I think he needed to do it for himself.
I think you're right on it.
And he's been a different player ever since.
I think you're right on it, Paul. He has been a different player ever since that play.
In fact, he was our player of the game in the locker room on defense after this latest game against the Chicago Bears. It's All About You, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. And, well, here's Brandon Williams after that Bears game.
I wouldn't say I hit my stride yet, but I definitely feel more comfortable than I did last year. I still feel uncomfortable in some certain situations, but that's expected. As far as having more confidence than last year, yes, I definitely do.
And let's not forget, he's making a position change. I mean, this is really, he's just gone 2+ years mm-hmm. as a cornerback. He had spent his whole life as a running back.
You know, part of the reason, too, Paulie, that I was torn on Justin Bethel is, you know my feelings on this, Justin Bethel is the best special teams player the organization has ever known, period. It's not even close. He changes games. That's what he does, right? Block kicks, block punts, whatever it may be. That's the other reason why I'm a little torn on it. Because I know if Justin Bethel is the starter opposite of Patrick Peterson, he's probably not going to get a ton of special teams reps. And what was a big question mark? What was a big problem with the Cardinals last year? Special teams. Justin Bethel, if he were dedicated to it once again, would make more plays in transition than anybody else. And it's not even close.
You know, that's a great question because BA was asked that question in the end of last season. And he sort of looked at the reporter guy skeptically and said, well, wait a minute, Richard Sherman does it. But Richard Sherman isn't asked to play quite as demanding a role on special teams as Bethel, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what. By the way, Tremon Williams, not a bad camp either, although he's dropped a couple of interceptions and he's gotten the ire of BA recently. We come back and all-time great calls it a career on the Big Red Rage.
What a catch by Anquan Boldin! Touchdown!
Fires near side, caught Boldin! Touchdown!
Anquan, you are sick!
Trying to stop Anquan Boldin is like trying to suck a lemon through a straw.
Deep downfield, it's caught Boldin in midfield. At the 40, at the 30, the 20, 15, 10, 5. Anquan Boldin, touchdown!
You can't tackle the Quan. That is a bad, bad man.
Yo, you don't want to see me. You garbage as heck, yo. You don't want to see me. You don't want to see me. I got to put you on your back. You don't want to see this. You don't want to see this. You garbage. You don't want to see this play, boy. I put you on your back every play. That's what's up. No, you can't see me. You garbage, dude. That's why you don't start. You garbage. I don't know how you get a name on the back of your jersey.
Don't get Anquan Boldin started, and most certainly don't get him mad on the field of play.
That is awesome.
What was that old line about Lawrence Taylor when you were playing, like the offensive lineman used to yell at
you?
Oh,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Don't say anything to Lawrence Taylor. Do not say a word.
Just let him be.
The same thing with Quan.
Yeah. He played that receiver spot like a middle linebacker. I mean, there are so many things we remember from the great Anquan Boldin, who called it a 14-year career this week, 7 years with the Arizona Cardinals, the former host of the Big Red Rage 2004, before Bertrand Berry took over 2005 through 2009. I just think I'd zoom out and think, man, what a pleasure to be down on that sideline. Yes. and just be around the guy and watch him play and all the highlights he provided over the years.
No doubt, Paulie. Look, I think he was the best football player the wide receiver position has known in this millennium. Mm. I think he was the best football player. When you talk about a football player, I'm talking about a guy that obviously was tough, a guy that would make plays, a guy that would score touchdowns, but a guy that would drive you into the ground and do it with malice. Here's a guy in Anquan Boldin that I do believe could have played. You said Mike Backer, Paul. I'm being serious when I say weak side inside. If you would have put him weak side inside with his build, Anquan Boldin, give him a year, he'd have learned how to play the position and gone out and killed you playing that position like he was Navarro Bowman.
And he was a former college quarterback. I mean, think about that.
Right.
I mean, he was extremely bright. He was the emergency quarterback. I remember Kurt Warner used to chop it up with him all the time. They would talk concepts. I mean, nobody knew the receiver position better than Anquan Boldin because he saw it through a quarterback's eyes. And then what we saw at the New York Jets when he had his face broken. First of all, the level of concern on the sideline I'll never forget. The reaction from Larry Fitzgerald when he ran over and then saw it and started screaming at the sideline for all the team doctors to come over immediately.
He broke his face, Paul.
He had 7 plates and 40 screws inserted into his face. 2 days later, he was in the weight room. 2 weeks later, he was playing in a game. And we had him on the Big Red Rage, if you remember that.
That's the Quan.
I mean, that's just... Oh, everything that Larry is, to a certain degree, has been influenced by Anquan Boldin. I mean, from all the charitable efforts, right? I mean, even right down to being one of the best-dressed guys in the NFL, that was Anquan Boldin.
And not only that, too, but also Larry's acceptance of doing something he doesn't like. Blocking.
Yes.
With the Quan.
Yes.
That's what the Quan was saying. You don't want any of this because I'm going to bury you. I'll put you on your back. That was a wide receiver saying that.
And for all the intensity of Anquan Boldin, you know what else I remember? It's his laugh on the team plane.
Oh.
That Anquan Boldin.
Hey.
Congrats on what hopefully will be a Hall of Fame career to the Q.
Love you, Quan.
Special thanks, Senior Broadcast Manager and Producer Jim Omohundro, Technical Director Cody Fincher. Man, we're getting close to the regular season. We have the game at Atlanta on Saturday night, then the game at Denver, and then it is like so on. This has been the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let's go!
And by Hickman's Family Farms, providing local fresh eggs to markets since 1944. Visit us online at hickmanseggs.com.
Woo! What's up, boy?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.